Fiscally invoked by the president. So everybody voted. Secretary, close the roll.
The roll shows 15 senators present this afternoon. Senator Coletta is excused from a call of the Senate today.
Rules Chairman will be here shortly. May we please stand firm?
Lord, as this body begins another week of study and deliberation, we ask your presence among its members. Give them wisdom and the courage to follow their convictions. And let them find those moments of true rest and reflection, the quiet moments of heart, which all of us need from time to time. Help them to think and to speak with clarity and with love, so that understanding and respect may drive out all suspicion and bitterness. Help them to serve your people, and thus you, even better than they had thought because of your presence. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
Secretary certifies correctness of the
journals. I wish to certify as to the correctness of the journals for the 39th, 40th, 41st, and 42nd legislative days and Senate Supplement Number 12.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. President, I would move and ask unanimous consent that the journal for the 39th, 40th, 41st, and 42nd legislative day be approved as certified.
Objection. So ordered. Are there guests for introduction? Senator Sackett.
Mr. President, I'd like to introduce a group of students from the Lower Kuskokwim District, the close-up students, and it's a program funded through the school district and not the close-up direct-funded program that we have from the legislature. There are 47 of them here, and I'd like to have each person stand as I give their name, and I apologize in advance for any problems I might have with pronunciation. There's Molly Billy, Larry Black, Minnie Joke, Joanne Nokowasera, Molly Joke, Clara Wasley, Oscar Wasley, Florence Willie, Huey Willie, Joe Ayagaleria, Norman Annever, Darlene Annever, Martina Ayapur, Lawrence Carl, Andrew Dock, Quilla Dock, Yvonne Fox, Joey Quinya, Ann Andrew, Vernon Brown, Joan Hawk, Joseph Henry, John McIntyre, John White, Darlene Martin, Anna Beaver, Dora Brink, Vernetta Tinker, Kathy Watsky, Stanley Berlin, Leona Brink, Ed Anvil, Yako Nicholas, Edward Twitchell, George Maxey, Cassius Brown, Ruth Mute, Thomas Messick, Paul Harburg, Sam Paul, Kenneth White, Kenneth Dock, and five chaperones, Shane McMurdy, Dennis Ron Ronessi, Dan Vincent, Isaac Amick, and Annie Keep. Welcome to the Senate.
It's good to see you all here today. I hope it's an interesting time for you. Are there messages from the governor?
Message of February 20. Dear Mr. President, under Article 2, Section 17 of the Alaska Constitution, I am allowing CSSSB 162, Finance, Effective Date Failed House, special appropriations for the Alaska Agricultural Action Council to become law without my signature. This bill was transmitted to me on February 3, 1982. I have been advised by the Department of Law that if the averments made in the plaintiff's complaint in Barnes versus Palmer are upheld by the Superior Court, then this bill becomes law without my signature on February 20, 1982. Consequently, to simplify matters, it is being given a session law number in the 1982 Session Laws, Chapter 10, Session Laws 1982, notwithstanding the fact that it was previously designated Chapter 120, Session Laws, 1981. Sincerely, J.S. Hammond, Governor. That's the only message from the governor today.
Are the messages from the House?
The House has passed the following and transmitted for consideration. House Bill Number 708 by the Rules Committee, by request of the governor, an act making a supplemental appropriation to the new Capital Site Planning Commission and providing for an effective date.
Finance.
That is the only message from the House today.
Are there communications?
Message dated February 16th from the Commercial Fisheries Entry Commission, a notice of adoption of emergency regulations for hand trawlers, which has been posted and is also available in the Secretary's office. Message of February 22, 1982. This is a letter from Senator Arlis Sturgiliski forwarding the last two sunset audits of the State Board of Parole and Alaska Code Revision Commission. Would you like to refer those tomorrow?
Yes.
Those are the communications today, Mr. President.
Do we have reports of standing committees?
The Judiciary Committee considered Senate Bill Number 610, Certificates of Birth, and reports it back as follows. Senator Rohde, Chairman, signed no recommendation. Senator Parr signed do pass. Senator Ray signed do not pass. Bill is not conformative. SB 610 has no further referral.
Rules Committee.
The Resources Committee considered Senate Bill Number 732, Issuance of Production Licenses for Mineral Extraction from State Land, and recommends that it be replaced with the committee substitute and do pass. Signed, Senator Fahrenkamp, Chairman, concurring Senator Sturgiliski, Eliason, Gilman, Mulcahy, and Bradley. SB 732 has a further referral to finance. The Judiciary Committee considered Senate Bill Number 765, exempting the importation of alcoholic beverages for religious purposes from a prohibition on the importation of alcoholic beverages into municipalities or villages, and recommends do pass. Signed, Senator Rohde, Chairman, concurring Senators Ray and Senator Parr. SB 765 has no further referral.
Rules Committee.
The Rules Committee considered House Concurrent Resolution Number 58, suspending certain uniform rules of the Alaska State Legislature concerning Senate Bill Number 190, and recommends it be placed on the February 22 calendar. Signed, Senator Kelly, Chairman, concurring Senators Ferguson and Ziegler. HCR 58 does appear on today's calendar. Those are all the standing committee reports today, Mr. President.
Are there reports of special committees?
There are none.
No resolutions for introduction. Are there bills for first reading and reference?
Senate Bill Number 816 by the Labor and Commerce Committee, an act continuing the existence of the Real Estate Commission and providing for an effective date.
Commerce Committee.
That is the only new bill today.
This takes us to the daily calendar. It's my understanding that there's a desire to have two of the bills held till tomorrow's calendar. Majority Leader.
Mr. President, I spoke with the Rules Chairman, and it was his request that we place Senate Bill 167, and I'll have to confer with Senator Stimson, and I also thought House Bill 532 on tomorrow's calendar.
Senator Stimson, was that an arrangement that was requested that you know of?
It was not part of my discussion.
Okay.
Mr. President.
Senator.
I would like to have it on tomorrow's calendar because Senator Ferguson had requested that he would like to be here, but he had to leave an emergency. And I don't think he'll be back till Wednesday, though, but we can do it on the day.
I would then move and ask unanimous consent that we hold over Senate Bill 167 and House Bill 532 to tomorrow's calendar.
Without objection, so ordered. Secretary Reed, House Concurrent Resolution 58.
House Concurrent Resolution Number 58 by the Rules Committee, suspending certain uniform rules of the Alaska State Legislature concerning Senate Bill Number 190. The Rules Committee considered this resolution and recommends it be calendared today. There are no amendments.
Is there debate? Senator Parr?
Well, Mr. President, are we... I'm sorry. Mr. President, I would like to suggest that there is something improper here. According to Rule 54, that uniform rules will be suspended by a concurrent resolution approved by a two-thirds vote of the full membership of each House. There's nothing to indicate, Mr. President, that this can be retroactive. Yet this concurrent resolution is before us. The action has already been taken by the other body. The next sentence in Rule 54, if either House violates a uniform rule, a question of order may be raised in the other House. I am raising that question of order, Mr. President. I think the House should have had the concurrent resolution passed before they took the action they took. The rules are not suspended until the time that concurrent resolution is passed both houses. There's nothing to indicate they can do this retroactively.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. President, Senator Parr raises a question that has not been addressed yet, and it is appropriate for us to, hold the resolution over to address
the rule of chairman not being here, and it would be required of him in any event to give us a report. I suggest that bill be held over.
Secondly, Mr. President, it would seem more appropriate to have Senate Bill 190 and this resolution appear on the same calendar so that it's very clear precisely what we're doing, that is waiving a portion of the rules to allow us to take up a bill that was previously killed.
I don't think that's necessarily required. In fact, probably the resolution ought to be taken up in advance of the bill, Mr. Majority Leader, but nonetheless, I think it's appropriate for the question to be resolved.
Mr. President, and that because of the legal question raised by Senator Parr, I'd move and ask unanimous consent that House Concurrent Resolution 58 be placed on tomorrow's calendar as well.
Objections noted, Senator Wright.
Well, the objection is just to clarify something. This body can suspend the rules at any time they want, as long as they have two-thirds of the majority of the people of the body. And if we're going to get into a position of the chicken and the egg, it really doesn't make any difference as long as we have done the act and it is done in a conforming manner. I can appreciate Senator Parr's concern. I looked at that myself and I thought about it. And then when it comes down to it, what is the difference as long as we are receiving or we are reaching the end that we desire? This is a in-house parliamentary procedure. That's all it does. It doesn't change anything except I believe that it isn't even necessary. I think that you could take a rescinding action. You could have taken a rescinding action and go at it from there. I think that the House could have done that, and I don't think that the concurrent resolution is necessary, but it's insurance so that in the future that there's nothing, no problem. Senator Parr bringing it up has set the basis for a problem now, and even with the resolution coming before us, set the basis for a legal argument opposing or presenting a legal argument so that some attorney somewhere down the line will make a few dollars on making a presentation to the court.
Senator Parr?
Mr. President, I would like to point out, unless I'm mistaken, this requirement in Rule 54 was added when we changed the rules last year. I would like to remind everybody I voted against that rule change every time it came up. I did not vote in favor of it, but the body, in its wisdom, decided to insert that into the rules. Now it's in there, we ought to comply with it. And the old days when each body independently could suspend the rules are no longer valid, as I understand, Rule 54. And I'm perfectly willing to be instructed if I'm reading it incorrectly, but that's the way I understand it.
It will be referred, and your concern will be referred to the Rules Committee, Senator Wright.
Perhaps I'm not even getting the full benefit of Senator Parr's problem. Through the chair of Senator Parr, if I don't understand what his argument is, other than the fact that I believe I'll put it in the form of a question. Are you questioning the House's action or are you questioning the Senate's action?
You wish to respond, Senator? Mr. President, through the chair, to respond. According to the rule, as I understand it, a concurrent resolution must pass by two-thirds vote of the full membership of each House.
In order to suspend the rules, action to be taken after the rule suspended can come only after that resolution has been passed. The rules are not suspended until each House, by a two-thirds vote, has approved the resolution. Now, but since the House took their action prior to that time, then, as far as I'm concerned, they have violated the uniform rule, and therefore I may raise a question of order in this body. There's nothing very complicated about it. As I understand the rules, they were out of order when they did this, and therefore I'm raising the question of order at this point. Senator Ray, you wish the floor?
Well, Mr. President, once again, I don't think that I can appreciate Senator Parr's problem again. That if it was a valid concern, I guess that he has a basis for a question. The rescinding action, if they rescinded the action, we rescind the action, that's all that's necessary. You don't need a suspension of the rules because we haven't done anything that violated the rules yet. Except what Senator Parr says, that if we adopt a resolution suspending the rules after the fact, what are we suspending the rules for? When you can reach it by a rescinding motion, you don't even need the resolution to start with.
Call for the question.
No, I have to withdraw my objection.
There be no objection. Be held to tomorrow's calendar, and the rules chairman will be requested to report on the concern of Senator Parr, as he's noted it. Are there items under unfinished business?
We have a citation, sir.
We do have a citation. I apologize to the body. Secretary, read the citation.
Citation honoring Michael Gilliland by Representative Moss.
Senator Rohde.
Mr. President, I would move and ask unanimous consent that the citation calendar be adopted.
Without objection, so ordered. It is my opinion there would have been a request by the rules chairman to have a suspension of the rules and request that Engineers Week citation be adopted. Is that correct, Secretary?
That's correct, Mr. President.
Mr. President, I was searching on my desk for the memorandum as you were talking. Mr. President, I would move and ask unanimous consent that the rules be suspended, that the citation notice be waived, and the citation recognizing National Engineers Week be taken up this time.
There being no objection, Secretary, read the bill.
Citation recognizing National Engineers Week, February 21 to the 26th of 1982, by Representative Hayes.
Mr. President, I would move and ask unanimous consent that the citation calendar be adopted.
Without objection, so ordered. Under unfinished business been brought to my attention, the Senate Bill 274 has a fiscal note. I will assign it to finance as follow-up to the first committee of reference, Senate Bill 274. Senator Rohde.
Mr. President, under unfinished business, I'd like to waive several bills. I would move and ask unanimous consent that from Judiciary the following bills be waived. SJR 1, that's the public school fund. Senate Bill 180, the new municipal code. Senate Bill 739, supplemental appropriations to the Judicial Council. Senate Bill 744, special appropriations for the oil and gas lawsuit. I would also ask that Senate Bill 512 be waived from the Judiciary Committee. It has been waived by State Affairs and Judiciary. It is actually a transportation matter dealing with car licensing.
Yes, it could be a number of committees, but I'll assign it to transportation. Senator Mulcahy.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent to be excused from the call of the Senate March 5th. I'll be in Anchorage on state business.
be no objection, you're excused from the call of the House March 5th. Senator Mulcahy. Other announcements of committee meetings? Committee meetings at this time. Senator Sturgill-Lewski.
The House and Senate Finance Committee Subcommittee on Transportation will be meeting 3 to 5. House Finance will be taking up O&M budgets both today and Wednesday from 3 to 5.
Resources, Chairperson.
Mr. President, at the present time, we are having hearings on teleconferencing on Senate Bill 608 to all sites in the Butrovich Room. Those will continue immediately following this session. And on Tuesday morning, or Tuesday afternoon at 4:30, we will be having briefings in the Belts Room from Michael Rubenstein, who is the Assistant Attorney General, Office of General Counsel, Department of Commerce, NOAA, Federal State Authority over the 200-mile fishing zone. I'd like to invite all of you who are interested to be in the Belts at 4:30 tomorrow afternoon. On Wednesday, we'll be continuing the teleconferencing concerning Senate Bill 608. And then on Friday in the Butrovich Room, we will be hearing the 5-year oil and gas leasing program. And those people who will be speaking on that will be the industry, the native, and environmental view.
Chairman Parr.
Thank you, Mr. President. The House Committee will meet at 3 o'clock this afternoon in the Barron's Building Committee Room. We have Senate Bill 320 dealing with staff training in school districts, and Senate Bill 650 and 651 dealing with licensing of foster homes and group homes.
Further announcement, committee meetings, Chairman Mulcahy.
Mr. President, Commerce and Labor will be meeting March 3rd in the Butrovich Room at 3 p.m. It will have before it the committee substitute for House Bill 524, an act relating to small loans and providing for an effective date, SB 750, an act relating to deregulation of interest rates and providing for an effective date, SB 749, an act relating to equity participation and providing for an effective date, and SB 752, an act relating to savings associations.
Are there items under special orders? Senator Stimson.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move and ask unanimous consent for the privilege of the floor to make a few comments on the problems with the seafood industry.
Senator, you have the floor.
Thank you. I wanted to address today a serious issue which has arisen recently in the Alaska seafood industry. That is the recall by the Food and Drug Administration of millions of cans of canned salmon and the embargo of Alaskan canned salmon by the United Kingdom and the European community. The incident of botulism is an isolated one, and the potential impact to our state from this problem is tremendous. For our fishing industry, the problem could not have come at a worse time. Let me stress that this whole problem involved only one can of salmon amongst millions of cans in the entire world. The incident could have widespread implications statewide and severe impacts on coastal communities which depend on fishing, and salmon in particular, for their life's blood. Fishing is the state's largest private employer, putting over 55,000 people to work during the peak of the season. The fishing industry generates about $600 million to fishermen annually, with more than $1.1 billion worth of catch unloaded in the state annually. The state of Alaska is looking at a record run of salmon this year of an estimated 135 million pounds. 84 million pounds of that is supposed to be pink salmon, and almost 100% of that is to be canned. Anchorage is the major staging area for the export of our Alaskan salmon. There are 2,076 holders of limited entry permits that live in Anchorage.
These are just a few of the reasons why I think we as senators should be concerned about the United Kingdom and European embargo. The United Kingdom alone buys half of the salmon run from Bristol Bay. And the decision to recall all cans stamped with the code K13 is arbitrary. Two other canneries, one in Kenai and one in King Cove, both use the K13 code but have no problems with their canning equipment.
Rather than being hasty and calling for blanket investigations of our seafood industry, the state should commit funds to counter the impacts of this one isolated case of botulism at the consumer level. The state needs to work both at the foreign and domestic levels to regain confidence in our canned salmon. Also, the state needs to assess the most appropriate response to assure the quality of our seafood products. One organization already in place to handle these responsibilities is the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute. The United Fishermen of Alaska passed a resolution the other day requesting that the legislature provide emergency supplemental funding for the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute so they could begin to address this crisis situation. I think we need to act as quickly as possible in providing that funding. The United Fishermen of Alaska provided cans of salmon, which the pages have, and I'd like to have distributed. And I think it's just real important that we recognize the magnitude of this problem. It is absolutely going to blow us away if we're not careful. Thank you, Mr. President.
Many of us have put together legislation to support quality control. Very, very difficult for the people in the processing and in the fishing industry to come together on this subject, unlike other areas of food processing and production. We've got a long ways to go. Are there further items under special orders? Ready for the adjournment. Senator Kelly?
Mr. President, would the Secretary please note my presence? Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent the Senate adjourn until 10 a.m. Tuesday morning, February 23rd.
We're adjourned.